Okay, now how do I stop this?
So down to the scene where it says end live.
Good, we're live now. Well, I'll stop talking about how stupid I was at the last one. Going with everybody watching us for the next 5 minutes. How do I stop this thing? Where's the stop button? Where's the end button?
Oh, is that how you ended it?
Yeah.
So fantastic.
That was if I wasn't gonna find it like in the next 5 seconds after that, I was just gonna close the lid. And so I was like, I don't know what else to do.
Close the lid.
Oh, we're live.
We live. I'm a little rusty.
Yeah, but thank goodness these other two are here. Not that I didn't enjoy that conversation, Jason. That was actually a really good conversation. And we got one comment that actually said that it was a really good show. And part of me was like, see, we can do it. Another part of me was like, were you just throwing us a bone and making us feel better? I'm like, the two fun ones are not there. I mean, I think we're fun, but I don't, but you know, I don't know if other people think we're fun.
I know, we're a different kind of fun.
We're a different kind of fun, yes.
It's all good.
The loud, giggly ones aren't here today.
With the smart ass remarks.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
With our smart ass puns and remarks.
Hi, I am back.
Yes, we both are.
I guess while we're kind of getting warmed up and waiting for people to come in, we can go ahead and make a couple announcements. One is we're going back to being live, well, doing an episode every week. That's going to start next month. Yes. So we will be doing like how right now it seems like every episode has like a theme, a topic. Like today we're talking about masks and ritual wear and different articles of clothing that are used in magical practices. But these in-between episodes, which will be in between the ones that we already do, they're not going to have a set topic. It's just going to kind of be whatever we feel like talking about at the time. Probably whatever pops up in the discussion in the comments, stuff like that. It's more, less structured.
Or in the news.
Yeah. Doing like news
stuff.
There's
been a lot of interesting things coming up in the news. Like we're always sending each other like these little like clips.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of scary that we have enough of our people in the news.
Right?
or fake versions of our people.
Right.
It's definitely both.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So we've got enough ammo for extra episodes and stuff for you all.
Yeah. So
good word
starting
to use, ammo.
Yeah. So next month, we will be being live every Sunday that is permitted.
Yes.
But yeah. So does anybody want to give like a formal intro to what we're discussing today?
Well, let me clear my throat. Hi, we are the Bitchy Witchies, and when I see us like on the screen this way, I feel like we all should be going, I'm Bella, and then Brand in this message is going, I'm Jesse. Okay.
And I'll animate my moon to say, and I'm Hestia.
The Brady Bunch thing going on here.
Jason Old Kane and Miss Mountain Gypsy. The four of us make up the Bitchy Witchies. We do this podcast every other week. Now we do it. We're going to, like Hestia said, every week. And we also put out videos in between. So if you are new to just tuning in, definitely stick around, listen to us, check out our other videos, and please definitely subscribe. So our topic today is going to be on ritual masks and ritual wear. So basically not rituals itself that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about basically the peripherals of it, because those in and of itself, I think, are bear some highlighting.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's some reasonings behind using some of it, and there's all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, who wants to start? Not everybody speak all at once. Come on now. Slow down. Slow down.
Oh, my goodness. Well, how about, I forgot who put this topic on here.
I did.
Oh, yeah. So, Bella, why did you put this topic on here?
Well, you know, funny you should ask. So, I put this topic on here because...
Hold on real quick. I got to give credit to Brandy for flipping that. Like, no, you're going to go.
Whatever.
That was an expert level move. Kudos, sis.
Well, the reason why I wanted to talk about it is because, one, I don't think, like, either people take it for granted when they do it and don't really think about to talk about it or why they do it, because not everybody does. It's not like it's a mandatory thing, unless, of course, it's part of your specific tradition. But, I mean, masks, let's start with masks. I mean, masks are used in a lot of different things. You know, they're used in cultural rituals. They're often used in different religious rituals, in spiritual rituals for spiritual reasons, again, going back to religious ones, sometimes, you know, they do what's known as deific masks, which are basically masks of a certain deity or multiple deities. You know, we see it a lot in, like, you know, historical channels when they're showing, like, you know, tribes out, you know, overseas or something, and the types of masks that they use. But it's not just tribes that do it. It's also a lot of occult practices do it, and there's reasons behind it. And then the other piece of that is, we were going to talk about ritual wear, like what people wear sometimes for ritual. We were going to have a separate episode on that, but we thought we'd combine it because we really didn't think that there was going to be enough content to talk about both each of themselves. So basically how to dress up for a ritual. That's why I wanted to talk about it.
Well, like, I know the mask part. Like, for me personally, I know the mask part in, like, Celtic and Scandinavian is they wear them to deter and keep, like, hide from spirits and stuff. So, you know, some people will use that when they're working with spirits to hide from them or blend in with them. So that's one of the things I personally know. But I mean, like Bella said, there's different, you know, cultures that do the deities thing. And I think the Romans or the Greeks are one of them.
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of cultures that even to this day will still do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know that this isn't real, and I'm not trying to make light of it, but every time I think of it, I think of Joe versus the volcano, you know, and... You guys ever saw that, you know, when they're doing their ritual dance and the dude puts on the mask? And anyways, never mind. If you've never seen it, go see it because it's an amazing movie.
I don't have to say anything because she knows any movie she's referencing I have not seen.
Most of the time.
If you're new here, that's the running theme. Well, I mean, haven't, if you're seen anything.
So, I guess question number one, is there anybody in our group that uses any type of ritual masks?
Masks, no.
Yes,
but mine's not physical.
Ooh.
And see,
I think I just gave Jason an idea that he's going to play with later. I've seen the spark.
What were you going to say, Jason?
I do have a mask that we use for one of the Roman festivities in my family, but it's kind of like it kind of ties into like Mardi Gras as well.
Oh, nice. How do you use it?
The purpose of it is to kind of hide your to hide your aura.
Okay.
It's used to hide your aura, or also to highlight your eyes. It's like eyes are like the windows to the soul.
Is it kind of like a masquerade style?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, nice.
I should have brought it down.
Like Hesia said, the physical thing, and I think this could be tied into it, is makeup, because, you know.
Yeah. I was going to say, so before you say anything further, just a little plug for Miss Mountain Gypsy. She actually did a video to talk about ritual makeup. And there are a lot of people who consider when they don their ritual makeup that is, in essence, their mask, if you will.
Yeah. So,
but go ahead.
But yeah, even doing your makeup just to go to work or wherever could be considered your mask of protection and stuff, because, you know, like Hestia and I were into makeup for magical purposes, and we do know like eyeliner and lipstick and different colors you use could be your ritual mask.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and when it comes to makeup, I use color magic very heavily.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
There are a number of magical practices, not just religious or cultural practices, but there's also a number of magical practices that use, in particular, deific masks. And for various reasons, you know, sometimes it's used to kind of represent or call back ancient beliefs or ancient knowledge. And it's like they almost kind of channel it through their masks. Some use it as a representation of something from their subconscious that they want to incorporate in the ritual. The obvious one is, of course, to channel the deity themselves. So, you know, we hear a lot about, many of you are familiar with the word invoking or invocation, you know, so some like to take that a little bit more literally and don a deific mask if they invoke.
I see.
And because sometimes I think it's just, you know, some people are more literal, you know, and so mm-hmm. if they have it, it helps them get into it, if you will.
Also, whether you're just more literal or if you're like me, where I'm not literal, but sometimes I will feel like any extra touch is necessary, like push it as far as you can, whether that means face paint, masks, what you're wearing from head to toe, everything. Sometimes just everything from the tools that you're using and the energies you're using, just as far as you can take it. Just take it as far as you can go.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, like Bella was saying, the video I did, I showed pictures of the makeup that her and I use in certain things and everything, like, you know, like in Norse shamanism or seers or whatever you want to call them, they use all black so they can blend in and flow with the entities that they are communicating with and working with. That way they're accepted and seen as another entity rather than an outsider.
Right. Also, masks can help for people who have aphantasia and can't visualize who they're trying to communicate
Very
with.
True.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very, very true. So Clyde and I use ritual. So we have we do, and actually this is kind of new for us. We decided, because we've only we've been together now for about for over 4 years, but we just started living together for I think we'll hit a year next month. And so things that we decided to do together was to do lunar rituals together. We do a ritual on a dark moon, ritual on a full moon, because we tend to be mirror images of each other, and his power, if you will, is on the full moon, and mine tends to be on the dark moon. And so we wanted to kind of merge, you know, and so when we have done those, we will don not masks, but we will don ritual makeup. And the makeup that we do is very specific to the ritual. It's sigils, or it's like I use Om staves. I try to reflect, you know, pieces of my culture. I use just regular makeup to don the makeup. He actually makes his ink. He takes ash. He mixes up a certain combination of ash and some oils, and that's what he uses to draw the symbols on his face. And it's actually pretty good. I'm thinking maybe I should use that for makeup too, because that shit stays better than mine does. But the other thing also is that people also use it for different spiritual or spirituality evocations or invocations. So not necessarily for a deity, but like, you know, because he identifies as a Therian, he also has a wolf mask. And so some people will don sometimes, you know, the mask of their spirit animal or spirit totem, if they feel that that is what they want to embody in the ritual.
That's actually just...
He said it was okay to show his mask, so let me go get it and show it.
I was actually just going to bring that up too, about the animalistic masks to embody certain animal spirits or animal totems. Oh, I like that.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah. So, this is his...
So, your neighbors now see a werewolf hanging around the backyard sometimes.
Yeah.
I would go grab mine, but it's like all the way. But
that's another common type of mask that the people use, is they will don a mask of their spirit totem or their spirit animal.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like me and Jim, we had like 10 years ago, I bought us they're crowns or circulates or whatever, and what his has a stag on it and mine has a doe on it. And that's for like the springtime.
Nice.
Right on.
Very nice.
So we have those. I haven't used them in a while, but they look pretty on my wall. But I did. I bought them like...
You got to send me pictures of that.
Yeah. Like I bought them like 10 years ago on Etsy from this amazing lady who does ritual wear and jewelry and stuff like that. I don't even know if she's still on there though.
Like, yeah, there's a couple masks I want, but I'm in no rush because one of them is going to be especially, I don't even want nobody to look at it. So it has to be right and it has to be perfect, and I'm not settling for anything subpar. So, yeah, it's going to be a while before I have a little collection of masks.
I just see you walking around with Venetian masks.
Oh, I definitely want a masquerade style one too, but that's different.
Some people will actually even take it one step further and make their own masks and that be a ritual in and of itself. So there's a number of practices. I think draconic practices do it. Draconian, I should say, not draconic. Draconian practices do it, where they will make their own deific masks, and that itself is a ritual in and of itself, because as they're making it, they're imbuing, you know, whatever essence they're wanting into that mask, and so every time they put that mask on, you know, for some of them, they feel that that is their invocation, is by donning the mask. Mm-hmm. So if that's something that's of interest to you, you know, that's something that you may want to consider as well. And you could make it as elaborate or as simplistic. You know, this one that Clyde uses is bought, but again, you know, you could make your own with just like plaster of Paris or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we used to do in elementary school.
Yeah, I was going to say we used to do that.
Yeah. Yep. So. What I mean,
channel going your from... inner child.
Right. Arts and crafts is a big part of witchcraft, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
A big part.
Yeah.
Actually, that's just all of it, really. All of it. It's basically reading and doing arts and crafts.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
That's our life.
But, you know, going from makeup and mask, like, everybody usually has a specific piece of clothing they wear as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a great segue! Because
look at Jason.
Hold on. I didn't talk about my mask.
Oh yeah,
my non-physical mask.
Yes, please. Before we move on.
So, also another thing too is we work in energy manipulation and manipulating what people see. So when I do workings, a lot of times I will mask. But it's not a physical mask. It's a mask that spiritually distorts my face, where it kind of looks like you're looking through like a looking mirror. Like my face looks very distorted, like it's moving. So you can do that too. And it takes a lot of practice. It took me a while to like get it right. but it works. And that is one of the ways that I really can kind of get into the working itself, because then energetically I'm just like I'm in. It's kind of hard to explain. I'm just kind of in it. Like it's hard to explain.
She's in the zone.
No, yeah. It's almost like my energy enters into like an energy field where the energy just does its energy thing. So
and that's really cool for people who like that's a good idea and a good practice for people who can't, you know, do the whole physical dress up thing. So I think that's cool.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Clyde had a question. He said, what's the difference between draconic and draconian?
What is the difference?
Yeah, what's the difference?
Well, I'm not entirely well versed in it. I'll just give you a 50,000 foot view, because that's all I can give you. So Jason, pop in if you know any further. But draconic is more referenced to the traditions and paths that involve dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Draconian is really a different type of, even though the names sound familiar, they really are very different. Draconian, a lot of them do incorporate dragons. That's not the focus per se. Sometimes it is, like, you know, usually if they work with Tiamat, a dragon, you know, you'll see that in some draconian practices, but it tends to be more of a ritual magic, ceremonial magic type path. Very disciplined. I'll tell you, I have a huge respect for draconian magic practitioners, but it's nothing that I could ever accomplish because I am not that disciplined. These people are disciplined. I mean, to the point, like a lot of them embrace martial arts as well, and they incorporate that into the practice. So that's about as much information I can give on that. If anybody out there knows more, please feel free to write it in the comments, because I can only speak on it superficially.
That's pretty much all I know as well.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. All I know is it involves dragons.
Well, draconic does. Yeah. Draconian sometimes. Depends on who you talk to and who scratches them. But all I can tell you is these people are freaking disciplined. I think they're one of the more disciplined magicians out there. People who follow draconian magic practitioners.
Yeah, I'm too much of a squirrel to be that disciplined.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm bad.
So, good luck to you guys.
So, what were we talking about?
Well, I had just finished talking about my mask. So I think we were going to segue into other wearables.
Yeah. So ritual wear, ritual garb.
Yeah. I mean,
so
we all have specific colors we wear all the time, and we know one down there who's iconic for their color.
The white. Yes. The White Ranger. So I used to actually wear all black, because black is it's a very empowering color, and what it represents, like, it draws in energy. But when I started getting into white, is because I noticed throughout different witching cultures, wearing white clothing was a lot more prominent than the black clothing, because where black tends to absorb energy, white will reflect and project energy. And then I noticed too that the reason why in other witching cultures they would wear white, like if you look at like Santeria or Brujeria or like traditions of the Ifa, or even in European practices too, like in a Cornish witchcraft. Well, in Cornish witchcraft, they usually do embrace the nudity, but other than the nudity, the alternative is white clothing. And it's because white is it's a reflection of all the colors on the spectrum, but it's also a show of modesty. Like it's a color of neutrality. And modesty, and it shows that you're sure of yourself. In India, the reason why the yogis will wear white is because they say it expands your aura, and it also increases helps with mindfulness, which nothing will make you more mindful of your surroundings than wearing all white.
And so I want to kind of segue off of what you mentioned, about just not wearing any clothing at all, going sky clad, and I consider that part of ritual wear as well. I mean, it's probably ritual for nowhere, sure. But
but it's still very much is a ritual purposeful thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why do people, Jason, do you want to elaborate on why some traditions or why some practices like to do their rituals in sky clad?
It kind of depends on the overall purpose. Some say it's because it's your most natural state. They also say that it's also your most exposed and your most vulnerable state. Mm-hmm. It could also be for me, when I do sky clad, it will be sometimes the components of the certain working that I'm doing. Like sometimes I'll have to rub ash on myself or pour wine on myself or oil, so obviously I'm not going to wear clothes if I'm doing that.
I think that's a good point. There's going to be multiple reasons, from anything from just practicality to another thing to the reason that you said, and another thing that that I've heard people say, because have I sky clad? Yeah. Do I do it routinely? Not even close. Just once in a blue moon, I'll be like, I think this deserves no clothes. But most of the time, most of the time I'm wearing something.
Same.
But some people do, I have heard some people say that it also takes, it separates you from the things of this plane of existence. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That, you know, you can just focus on a purely magical being existence.
So you're not inhibited by, you know, a cape, a cloak, a robe, or something, because you're going to be messing with that. So all your inhibitions are gone.
Real quick, Jason. Right. You got a comment, Jason.
Oh.
Clyde said, Jason, let's do a color field. You'll wear white spandex and I'll wear black, and we can do a reenactment of the old Power Rangers.
Yes.
Yes.
I am down.
Thank goodness it's only just those two colors, because he has this thing with colors. He can't see very many colors. So white and black is probably good.
Right.
Possibly.
Also, we had somebody
argue over
comment.
Our purple blanket. Sorry?
We also had somebody comment and say that for rituals, they wear scarlet and purple to represent their goddess Babylon.
See? Exactly. Right on. A lot of people do that. Yeah, they will color code, if you will, their garb based on their deity or what have you. Do any of you have any particular ritual wear?
I do have a robe, like it looks like a master's degree type of robe, kind of. But I'll wear that occasionally for certain ceremonies. Not really if I'm doing a lot of workings though, because the sleeves are really long and it's made out of canvas, so. Like, I feel like if it
gets
hot,
let's not catch on fire. I have PJs.
Other than that, I'll just usually wear my white clothing. Because I like it although, like, there are some people who, like, say that you can't really wear ritual clothing as, like, everyday clothing either, because it has to, because it would contaminate the energy. But I think that's that beggars own belief. I think like there is that one thing that I only wear for like certain ceremonies, because I think like that's the only time it's really appropriate. Although I usually just usually wear it for like Samhain.
I think that's logical. I mean, I myself, so I have a particular dress that I wear for ritual. It's a long dress, goes all the way to the floor. And unless I wear heels, because I'm short, it'll drag on the floor. but that does not hang in my closet. That stays here in my altar room.
Yeah,
that is to be cleaned.
Right. My robe also stays in my altar room.
Yeah, my ritual stuff stays there. It's not over there. With my other clothes. It is not mixed in with my other clothes. Same with my table coverings for workings and readings and stuff like that. Like those, like mm-hmm. they have their own place. Yeah. They are not in with my other linens. No. They also don't get, like, they don't get washed. And if they ever got to the point where they had to be washed, I feel like they would have to be like hand washed with like natural things. I'm not going to like put Tide Pods on it, you know, like.
Right.
Like I just feel like my ritual wear is very separate. Very don't touch it. I got it. Like don't touch
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah. I have specific PJs.
Something I also incorporate too into a lot of workings too is the conical hat.
Oh yeah.
Like incorporate the conical hat a lot into my ritual wear, and usually if I'm doing a major working, like that's one of the things that I will always have on, even if I am naked. Like I will want my conical hat, and I do have different ones for different, like I have my white ones, but I also have like my big black one, and it's because like I feel like the conical hat is like a symbol of a witch's power. Like, what it does is it draws down energy from the universe, keeps you centered and focused. But it's also like just like that point of power, and also just because it's the classic witch's hat. So I feel like that, along with the broomstick, are just representational of a witch's power.
So another shameless plug. Keep your eye out, because Jason is actually going to be doing a separate video on just the conical hat and all of the above. So we're excited about that.
And hopefully when he does, he'll show some of the ones that he's made, because the ones he makes are fucking beautiful.
Right on.
Shameless plug is he makes conical hats for sale. Just saying.
Yeah,
I do.
They're very pretty.
I have one.
And, I do too.
I could show it if you'd like. You guys keep talking. I'll go get it. Might as well. It's a show and tell day.
Right on.
you all have your actual what you would associate witchy garb, and I have specific PJs and
pajamas
and yoga pants.
All right. <on.
laughs> I have
I use robes. I use robes a lot, like silky robes.
Yeah. See, my PJs are silky PJs.
Yeah.
They're very mom-like, but you know.
I think it's so pretty.
See, that is pretty.
So, Jason, do you want to talk through what I'm showing here? I'll be the model, and you be the person that describes.
So that is what one design that I do. It is my dragon lady conical hat. As you can see, it has the different ornamental things, which are representational for the crown. Oh, it's like a witch's crown.
It is practical. So I'm going to take this off for a second. Does fit.
Yeah, mine's cool. Like, mine's purple and black and green, so it's very peacocky, and I love it.
Oh, thank you.
And then he also did one for my mom.
Oh yeah, the bronco colored one.
Yes, the bronco colored one. She has it on her in her living room, actually, all propped up.
Oh, right on.
Yes. She wants another one, so expect an order soon.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty
I actually have that hanging in my altar room. So it's so it hangs when it's not in use. So it also makes some beautiful decor.
There's one that I can grab. This one was my gold dust lady one.
Oh, nice.
This one's still up for sale. And I have a couple other ones too. I have a Morrigan one that people mistake for Cruella de Vil.
But I think the point being, though, is that you know, when you do choose to don certain things, you know, there's purpose behind it. Just like everything, you hear me say, or at least those of you who have tuned in and watched us. You should have heard me say before that everything we do in magical practice, we do with purpose. And so that includes the things that we use.
Yeah, not everything is like pops into your head that is associated with witchcraft, like the long dresses and the capes and stuff. Like my purpose for, you know, pajama set was, because I'm a mom, I can't be getting dressed up every 5 seconds to do something. And I'm very comfortable orientated. So, you know, it could be that. Or what was one of the New Year things that we discussed? That your undergarments can be your ritual wear.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so. Yeah. I mean,
and there's some people.
They wear magical underwear.
Oh, I'm still trying to get my great aunt to tell me about the magical aunt underwear, but my mom said not to because she might bitch slap me.
There are some people too whose ritual wear will simply just be like a braided cord that they tie in a knot above their root chakra, and that's just supposed to that cord is just supposed to represent their connection to magic or connection to the universe, and it's usually tied in like a specific knot. I forget the type of knot that it is, but yeah, like just that one cord alone can be considered ritual wear. Can be worn like in the nude or over clothing.
Well, and that's a really good point. There's a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, but there are several traditions. Now, I am not Wiccan, but I do understand that there's a number of Wiccan traditions that actually the cord has very, very specific meaning to their ritual. It denotes levels, I think, of your study. But it's also very clearly defined. Like, it's supposed to be X amount of feet long. I think it's 9 feet long. It's very specifically defined, the colors and how it's made and such.
Right.
So even how it's tied.
I mean, it also, when you're talking about the cord, which is still a part of a wear in the hand fasting ritual, you know, the specific colors, the specific length, and that's a core piece of wear in that ritual.
Right. I actually didn't know that Wiccans used it. like I just seen people of other traditions that were usually like a Cornish or Welsh practices, like putting a lot of emphasis on the cord. I actually didn't think that was a Wiccan thing. So
the
Wiccans probably
it's a borrowed. Adapted
it. Right.
It's a borrowed.
They borrowed it. But
they borrowed from a lot of different practices, Rosicrucians, ceremonial magic, Thelema.
Right.
Another thing that really weighs into everything that I use for my practice, but it carried over into the clothing that I use. I prefer all natural materials, and there are certain practices that require it. Sometimes it needs to be 100% cotton, or it needs to be 100% burlap, or whatever it's calling for, silk, whatever. But I've noticed that I just naturally came to the conclusion, or not the conclusion, I just naturally fell into avoiding man-made materials when it comes to my practice. I avoid things like glitter and polyester and things like that. I tend to lean towards wanting to use silk and cotton and burlap, like I was saying, because we're working with nature and natural energies, and I get it. You can draw from anything. You can inflict a meaning onto anything. And if that works for you, fine, fuck it, do that. But I'm speaking on what I've been reading, what a lot of people I know do, what I do. I tend to stick more towards natural fibers for my ritual wear as well. I feel like I'm cheapening it or disrespecting it by coming any other way. And I'd rather go sky clad than wear polyester or something like that.
And I mean, to your point, for sure. Like the whole natural thing when it comes to makeup, like using makeup, most of my makeup's all organic and stuff because first of all, I have shitty ass skin and can't wear all that chemical shit. But most of the time, like makeup is the same way for me. Like it has to be organic and natural makeup.
Right.
It may be bright as hell colors, but still it's organic, natural makeup.
Now, when it comes to just going back to the idea of like ritual wear and ritual mask, that's not something that I adorn for every type of working either. Like like workings I do for a living or workings I do with clients, like I'm not dressing up for every single one of those. Like it's usually like very pretty specific
things. Because those are just basic spells. Are like when we do rituals, those are very personal to us.
Very personal. Right.
Then those took a lot of time for us to actually put together and plan very precisely. So, of course, we're not going to be dressing up like you see on the movies just to do an everyday spell working.
Exactly.
Real quick, you guys. Somebody in the comments wants to know. I know. I'm pretty sure Jason or Bella, this is probably going to be for one of you guys because I know you guys both sell spell oils. Somebody wants to know if you guys spell or if you guys sell doom oil.
Oh, yeah.
She says, please sell your doom oil.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess just you can find our Instagram and message them there, or you can email us. Like all of our contact, we're pretty easy to find. Just message us.
Oh yeah,
and it'll get to the right person, promise.
Yes. So I mean, you can talk about your doom oil if you want, and I don't sell a doom oil, but I do sell a death oil, very similar. You know, mine is comprised of obviously dead things, but it encourages death into any situation.
Our email,
if you want it as a death to a person, that's your choice, since I'm not promoting that, but
it could be like death to a situation, which I like that. Like it's more universal, whereas like doom oil is just like death unto my enemies or destruction unto my enemies for just those very specific painful practices.
Brandy, real quick, in the comments in the chat, can you give them our talk to email address?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
And we'll also put that there at the end of it too.
Yeah, we'll put it in our
so for those who watch back.
Yeah.
There you go. So there's our email for you guys to contact us on oils.
Oil.
Did you put it in the live chat?
Talk to us about oil. Yes. Please email.
There's also a video on our channel too that I did that takes you step by step on how to make it yourself and a good spell to use it for as well.
Yeah.
That's if you're interested.
Of course, you did get a.
Give it a sec. It's delayed.
Oh, okay. Nothing. Sorry.
I am a little irritated though because we did get a comment to your doom oil video.
That jackass.
Made me crack the fuck up though.
What happened?
I can't remember. What did they say? Something like, oh yeah, right.
That's why you're still living.
Actually did throw it. Something. Yeah. Clearly you have it. That's why you're still alive. I'm like, oh. That's so cool that you know us, that you claim to like totally know total strangers. Like,
so we have that comment gets to go on the wall of shame.
Oh.
We have another wall of shame comment to put up.
Oh, the person that was asking about the oil. So that video was awesome. They watched it, but they don't have access to many of those ingredients. No, we get it. We're not opposed.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense. Yeah.
For sure.
Well, thanks for the support. Good to know you've been around for a minute.
Yeah, thank you.
So yeah, anyways, that was my point is I like to use natural fibers in my ritual wear as well.
And that makes total sense. And I think, you know,
I also like to make it myself if I can.
Oh, hell, that's not me.
Well, I have a little sewing machine. They're not fancy, but...
I bought a little portable sewing machine thinking, like, maybe I can learn how to sew with this.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I couldn't even figure out how to turn it on.
All right, what do you need sewn? Because nice. You could just call me and Hestia. We'll sew shit.
We're gonna have to do a little other group chat, just us, so you can show me how to use this shit, because I've had it for like 2 years and it just sits in a drawer because I don't know how to turn it on.
Is it the one they had on TV in the 90s where you just like, it's like a little handgun looking thing? You just
Yes.
Oh wow.
They still make those.
Just be quiet, everybody. Okay.
I guess they're having a moment again, because I have seen those. Like, I've seen people with them. Like, look at this new thing. I'm like, that's not new.
That's so not new. That's so like 20 some years old, people.
Oh, new for me. All right. It's still brand new for me.
Fearless says, who needs a sewing machine when there's liquid stitch? Man, I'm saying.
That's my kind of girl right there.
Hey, liquid stitch.
Work smarter, fabric not tape. Harder.
Right.
Fabric tape.
But yeah.
So do we have anything else to say on the subject?
I don't know. I just thought about something, though. Does anybody have anything on any kind of like ritual footwear? Because I know sometimes I'm like, I need to be barefoot for this. And honestly, that's every time. I don't know why, but it's like every time. I can't have anything on my feet. But I was just thinking, like, I'm really weird like that. So whenever I'm doing workings, even when I'm doing readings, I don't like anything on my feet. Like, I have to feel very like foot on ground. But I was wondering, like, is there anything that's like that you would put on? Because I can't think of anything.
I think that and this is a very generic answer. You know, I think that there are some traditions that have very specific, you just like they would have specific other wear, you know, that it goes down to the shoes. I personally don't do that. I know what you mean, though, because I've done that myself. I think just in general, I think being barefoot really helps, at least in the beginning, at least for grounding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And also cycling energy like through you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Specific footwear. I make sure I wear white shoes with my white outfits, so I'm just like all white from head to toe, because that's just like part of my aesthetic.
You know, seeing somebody in all white shoes and everything too, I think I would get scared.
See, that's what I like about it too. So what I like about it too, because I like looking weird. Seeing someone in all white on a regular basis, like it's unusual, and I like that. and it's fun for me.
There you go. Be different.
Yes.
Like always, it's just how we roll.
So I want to hear more about Miss Mountain Gypsy's ritual pajamas.
First of all, it's a lazy mom thing, and I felt I needed pajamas. So
okay.
Well, because I mean, like I said, I don't always have time to get all, you know, in my dress and my cloak and all that stuff. So I got PJs.
So the other thing too that I forgot to mention, we've talked about this before, how, you know, there are some practices, for example, chaos magicians do this a lot. I think Hestia, you mentioned in astrological magic, they do this a lot, is when they basically tap into other traditions just for that working. You know, and kind of take on and just be, you know, that practice, totally engulf themselves in that practice for just that working, or just that, you know, just that specific goal. And so that would be another time where somebody might don all the ritual wear for that piece. So like if somebody was I don't know, you know, deciding that a Wiccan ritual was what they needed for their particular goal for a Chaos Magician would then do not only the gestures and everything else and the practice, but also don the garb for it too.
Oh yeah, that I like that, because it's the symbolism kind of helps like get in touch with the energy, almost like the sigil purposes, only it's with that garb.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I like that.
Because, and you know, I'm not even going to speak to the astrological magic, because that's all Hestia's realm there. But for Chaos Magicians, you know, the whole point is to fully embrace that, you know, it's not a pretend. It's not a, I'm going to just act like it. It's that for that moment, you are Wiccan.
Yeah.
If that's what you truly feel that you need for that particular goal.
Though a better example in astrological magic, because this is very ancient, so we're talking way before Wiccan was even gonna be a thing. We're talking more along the lines of dressing up in an attire that has been dead for centuries. Right. We're talking about dressing up in ancient Arabic garb, things like that, where you're fully taking on an identity of something that is long gone. It's very hard to tap into, and that is why wearing things like that are so important, because you really have to go. It was
above getting and beyond. Dressed,
like how you get dressed today is not how people got dressed back then. It was a whole different process. And so sometimes to get into that, like if you ever try to put on Victorian era wear, you're going to have a whole new respect for them bitches, for real. Cause it's like, yeah, it was a shitty time in history, for real. Like, yeah, we know those people were trash, but like just like everyday life for people that lived in that period, go put on some of their clothes. You're going to be like, damn, your life really did suck. But
just, you know, the undergarments alone.
But you can feel it. Like you feel it more. Like everything was tight. Everything was tight. Like you couldn't breathe tight.
No.
And then there's other time periods and cultures that you have to tap into where it's like, you have to wrap yourself in the clothing a certain way, and it's something you have to learn, and you have to develop the respect for it, so that by the time you're actually doing it, it gets you, it is the evocation, or it is getting you like in the zone, or however you want to word it.
Or like the animal thing with the
that's
furs.
Why and how. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, furs and all that. So.
But yeah, I mean, there is a lot of purpose, you know, like I said, not to beat a dead horse, but, you know, everything is purposeful on why you choose to wear a particular item or dress a particular way or don a particular mask or whatnot. You know, there is purpose to that. So in other words, it's not, like I said in the beginning, it's not mandatory, but if you haven't tried that, and you think that it may help you, you know, you might want to try it out.
And honestly, this is something that I've seen be kind of a hot button topic. Shut the fuck up. Mind your business. One, if somebody's going through the hassle that it takes to do this correctly, they're doing it with more respect than you are fighting them to do it or fighting them to not do it. You know what I'm saying? Like you're trying to go ahead and let something die. They're trying to show it respect and honor and trying to interact with that in a meaningful way. And you're being a bitch about something that probably isn't even your culture. So shut the fuck up. And then on the other end, you need to also shut the fuck up, because this is supposed to be something that you're putting reverence into and respect into. So you don't need to be showing people anyway. Why are you trying to do rituals for an audience?
Well, and that is an excellent point, because, you know, we're talking about doing these things with purpose, with true spiritual or magical purpose, not for you to look good on your next Instagram shoot.
No, right. Exactly.
There's a big difference. There's a big difference in rituals and a costume. Mm-hmm. You don't wear people's culture as a costume. That's fucking disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, if you're going to pull the QAnon shaman thing, that's not what we're encouraging.
No.
Please don't. That was such an irritating thing for my household. So, but yes.
That was beyond irritating. Those, and that's what Miss Mountain Gypsy touched on in her ritual makeup video, is that, you know, ritual makeup is just for that, ritual makeup. It's not for you to wear to look cool when you go out and hang out with your friends. It's not for you to look cool when you're trying to make witchy photos for your Instagram page. You know, it's have some respect.
Yeah, because it's very personal to those of us who do practice and do use it.
Yeah. Not to mention, it's really, really annoying when you put something really personal out that could trigger other people, and then you cry about it when they tell you about yourself for what you made them feel. Because let's say you're not of a culture, but let's say you do have the respect and you learned it and you want to share that. You have to understand that people are not always going to be accepting of that. And if you don't want criticism of it, don't give it to people to criticize.
Yes.
Keep it to yourself. It's nobody's business. And I don't really know why you want to share that anyway, but there are traditions. Again, for me, I can only really speak for astrological magic, but I don't think I have to worry about people getting too mad about that because they're long dead. If I'm offending them, I'm sure they'll tell me directly. Okay.
It's like the pictures that I did use for that video. That's the only time you're going to see me and Bella in our makeup like that. That was just to show you the example. You're not going to see us posting that anywhere else, or what we, you know, the makeup we put on all the time like that. That's a one and done thing. You're never going to see that again. So.
Thank you. All right. Anything else on the subject?
I don't think so. Let me check. Okay, Rochelle got the website and sent an email. Okay, we will get back to you as soon as possible. Fearless said, I'd love to have a traditional kimono for rituals. It's not my culture or practice, but it's so beautiful.
Yeah. They are beautiful.
They are beautiful.
And to Hestia's point that she was making earlier, you know, the whole putting that on, I mean, that's like a ritual in and of itself, of, you know, the proper way to put it on and the proper way to tie it off and such. I think that's an excellent way to get into that mind frame for whatever you're about to do, whatever reason that you're choosing to use that, your purpose.
Yeah.
Fearless said it was awesome makeup on y'all, though.
Yes. We're like,
but to her point, that makeup, that picture, and I can't even remember why I took the picture, but that was right after a ritual that I had done. Like, that was not just for show, just for fun.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. That's all y'all ever see again.
Sorry, I had a tickle in my throat.
Oh, you're good. So unless anybody has anything to say in the chat, I think we're going to wrap up. So if you have any questions, hurry up and ask them now, because we're about to start wrapping up.
Yes.
You can always, or if you're catching this, if you're watching this, you know, after we are done going live, still ask in the comments, because we try to answer every single comment.
We do. One of us always does.
Yeah. Also, if you're watching this, and well, if you're playing this back after we're no longer live, you heard us talk about the Doom Oil real quick. So if you're interested in that, there's a recipe for it in our books, in Bella's book specifically, 101 Spell Oils. You can find that on Amazon. We will link that. You can also buy it from Jason, and then Bella has something similar. We will make sure to link their shops and our website and everything.
And actually, you can find all of that. There is a recipe for death oil in the book too.
Okay.
Yeah. You think?
Yeah, I think that's one of them.
I think I did.
Yeah. There's 101 in there, so you'll be covered one way or another. But yeah, let's see. Other than appropriated attire, is there any ritual garb to avoid? Well, hold on, because other than appropriated attire, I want to break that down real quick. Other than appropriated attire, is there any ritual garb to avoid? First of all, I'm not avoiding anything that plays a part in my path and my practice. If it's part of my practice, I don't really care how anybody else feels about it, because I obviously have my tie to it for my reason, and I'm not showing anybody anyway. So if that's what you're doing, do it. Because the only time you have to deal with anybody yapping at you about it being possible appropriation in their eyes, because some people take it real far, and it's like, if you eat anything of that culture, you're appropriating. If you participate in anything of that culture, you're appropriating. You can only do what you were raised to do in your household. Some people are going to take it that far, and that's why you have to really be like, this is what I do, and I'm comfortable with it. If it sits right with you, do it, because you're not going to be telling people play by play what you're doing, right?
And if you have a relationship with your ancestors, and that's what your relationship is calling you to do, that's your business and nobody else's. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like there's any ritual garb to avoid, unless it's just something. If you go to wear something and you're like, this feels fake, or this feels like dress up, or this feels like fraudulent, if you get a pit stomach feeling like, oh, I don't feel like I should be doing this, then don't do it. But if it's like, if it brings you joy and you feel the energy, and the energy is like, you know, again, this going back to a key part of all of our lives is being able to read energy. And if that is playing into your energy, well, then you need to do that.
Well, and I think to that point, you know, I agree with you. I don't think that there is anything that's off limits per se, you know, for a cultural or magical or occult reason. I think if anything, it would be more mundane reasons.
Or you know, personal obviously reasons.
You want to your personal reasons, exactly. But I consider that still kind of mundane reasons, you know, non-magical, yeah. Non-cultural, non-religious, you know, and that would be things that like you said, you made a really good point. If it's not feeling right, no matter how much you think that you're supposed to be doing it, if it's not right, that means it's not right. And, but also, you know, Jason made mention of something. There's certain things that he won't wear because it's just not going to be practical. Like, do not wear something that is going to put you at risk of being set on fire.
Right, exactly.
Polyester.
No, it sounds silly, but it is worth saying, because there's some things that, you know, it may be really, really necessary, but then you're going to have to work around that and figure out how to work around that. And if you can't work around that, then maybe that's not what you should be wearing.
Yes.
Exactly. Fearless said, yes. Yeah, if you're working with fire, have your hair up and don't wear long flowy sleeves.
Right.
And I know it sounds silly, you know, like, of course, everybody should know that. But you know what? I have done it myself. You know, I have this one top that actually has long flowing sleeves, and I learned the hard way. I don't think that's a good idea.
Hey, I did that with fingernails. Okay. My fingernail caught on fire and I was terrified.
I've done that too.
So have I.
Yeah.
I think every woman, it is a rite of passage for every woman.
We've all lost
a nail. Anybody who wears nail polish, it's a rite of passage for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've all lost a nail.
So Kali Billy says, Why do others look down on others' practices? I was told not to discuss mine for lack of words. People are judgy. Mm-hmm. People are really judgy. That's actually an easy one for me to answer. People are judgy.
Yeah, there is no appropriate reason. But on that same token, you know, that is a valid point. You know, there should be no reason for you to talk about your practice or your tradition or what you do, unless you're wanting to really have a serious conversation with somebody. But if you're trying to, you know, spread the word, so to speak, you know, that's kind of Christian, like, let's think twice about that. You know, we're not here to like proselytize to others.
Like we don't discuss it unless it's asked about, you know, unless we're actually having a conversation and it comes up in a conversation. Other than that,
and the thing is, we're having these discussions with other people who also take it serious. Yeah. Absolutely. So,
but I mean, honestly, just remember that this is a very personal practice. I think we've all said that at least just once in this episode alone. This is a very personal practice. So whatever you do choose to discuss, the first thing that you need to ask yourself is, why do I feel the need to discuss this?
Yeah,
because it is very personal. You know, that's basically like me telling these guys, you know, what underwear I wore today. Is that something they really need to know?
But here's another thing too. And this, I do want to say that we do understand the need for community to a point, because we're all, or at least some of us are more antisocial than others, but at some point, all four of us have needed to have discussions about our practice with the other people here. We understand that, that you need somebody to do that with, but you got to be careful and make sure that whoever you choose to surround yourself with, much like mundane friends, have a mutual respect with you. Even if they're of different paths, like all four of ours are very, very different, but we all have mutual respect for each other's paths. I don't care what they do. I'm not going to judge them for that. They're not going to judge me for what I do. Or if they do, they keep it to themselves, you know? It's really that simple.
And that's how we all met, was the need to have conversations with other like-minded people. Because
you don't want to talk to like the librarian about it, you know, like don't just go find a random person and be like, guess what happened today when I was channeling Zeus, you know, like, you know, that might freak regular people out.
Exactly. But I'm going to be a broken record. And again, you know, use the word, do it with purpose. If you're going to talk about something so personal, there should be purpose to that. And understand not only purpose to that, but you have to go into it with your eyes fully open. If you don't know the person and you're taking a chance and, you know, looking for like-minded people, then don't be surprised if you're going to run across somebody who's going to have something negative to say about it. I mean, that
perfect example
that is a risk that we all
is a perfect example is us, though. Look at the crowd that we were all a part of. Jason, you weren't there yet, but look at the crowd that we were all a part of and how it thinned out over time and who's still here years later. You're going to run into people that you think are your friends. You're going to have some weird. There's going to be weirdos. There's going to be clingy people. There's going to be some problems, but it's no different than sorting out friends in any other way. Just like in high school, it's no different. But just be careful how much you're sharing.
Learn to accept yourself and learn to be comfortable with yourself, what you do and what you believe, because when they do try to hate on you, that needs to just wash over you like nothing.
Also, a little input from somebody who has a Cancer moon. If you are soft, because yes, as crazy as I sound, I can be quite soft. Anybody who has a real soft spot in them, who's like, I don't want to try to make friends because I'm going to be hurt. Sometimes it sucks, but that's life. You're going to have to. But once, if you're good with like one or two solid friendships, once you get there, just stop. Like I think I told Bella, like, don't introduce me to anybody else. Like, I don't want to know no new people. After Jason, I was like, this is my threshold of friends. No new people. I am done. Don't introduce me to anybody else. And fortunately, they haven't, because I really am at my threshold. But you know, get comfortable with having just a couple solid friends instead of needing an audience, because then you'll have the community that you need to discuss this and not feel alone. But you run less of a chance of being like degraded or attacked for what you're doing. Because again, yeah, you'll build that respect with each other. And even if it's something they don't agree with or something they don't do, they can still talk to you without you feeling attacked.
Right.
Exactly. I love how you stated that, you know, your purpose should be not because you're looking for an audience, because you're looking for a support system.
Yeah, and as long as community over an audience, that's how I see it.
Yeah,
not even community. I see it more like family. Like, this is my little witchy family. I'm good with this. I don't need an audience, so I'm good. Like, I feel like we pretty much have the bases covered. And if one of the four of us can't figure it out, I promise one person outside of us can't. You know, like, this is a solid little community for me, and no new friends. Leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly. It's quality over quantity.
I tried to have a slightly bigger friend group once, and it was a disaster. I can't have a lot of friends.
Did I ever tell you that, you know, on occasion you say these things where you sound just like my mother, and I just don't know how to process that?
Oh no. What did I do? What did I say now?
So I remember somebody said to me on salon, I think it was my cousins, he said to me, you know, just try to talk to your mom. Just try to, and I was like 9 years old or something. You know, you'd be surprised, you know, just why don't you ask her to help you on something? So one day I was like sad, and she's like, what's wrong? And so I was like, and so I was thinking, normally I'd say nothing. But I thought back to what my cousin said, and I was like, okay, let me try. And I told her, and her answer was, you don't need friends. Like, okay. Thanks for helping, Mom.
Aw. You're like, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Katya.
I view it as quality over quantity. I've got my little circle of people. They're all awesome, and, you know, it's what I need, and that's it.
So did I freeze up or cut out or something when I was answering Hester's question?
Yes, a little bit. With the cute little smile.
I know. Looking okay, well, very smart.
Let me repeat it. Let me repeat it. Well, how far did I get?
Oh, we heard it all. You just froze.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We heard you. You were just sitting there with.
As long as you heard it.
Yes.
But yes, sometimes Hestia channels my mother, and it's very disturbing.
I kind of love that. It'll make me memorable.
All right.
Anyways, so it doesn't look like. So, I had smoke go up my nose, so I'm over here like dying.
I know. I went into a coughing fit too.
Jason, you've met my mother. Would you say that Hestia has some of the traits of my mother?
She kind of does.
I don't know how to take this, because I've heard some horror stories, and then I've heard some stories as I. So, am I the horror story mom, or am I the all right mom?
not the horror story.
I want to know. Like, am I? Oh God, I'm the horror story mom. I can tell by my reaction.
No.
I'm like, tell me now. Which one am I? Am I a bad mom? Am I a bad mom, Bella? Do you think I'm a horrible mom? She's like, I'm having flashbacks. Bye. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I'm dramatic today.
No. You're just hard nosed.
I am.
And just
quite literally. You know. Okay, this is random. Here's another little sidebar rant for this episode, because this is what we do too. So, me and my husband, like, everybody seems super bad, right? right? Yes. Most people have seen the movie Superbad. Okay, so you know at the end when they're at the sleepover and Seth rolls over and he boops him on the nose and he's like, boop.
Oh, yeah.
Me and my husband do that like 100 times a day for like the last decade. Like, I don't know why we haven't got tired of it, but we do. So,
aww.
But like when we first got together, the first time he did it, he booped me on the nose and I booped him on the nose. I was like, your nose is hella squishy. Because his nose is really soft compared to mine. I got a hard ass nose. So when he boops my nose, like if he boops my nose too hard, it hurts.
Let's all feel our noses.
Right now, everybody's like, how hard is my nose? My nose is really hard. My husband's nose is really soft. Fun facts. Anyways, I'm done. My nose is hard.
Okay, yeah. We're now doing this.
We're doing too much. We're talking about how squishy people's noses are. With that being said,
so
we will link to the Doom oil video and the makeup video.
All that good stuff.
All the stuff will be somewhere for you to find.
Yes.
It won't be hard to find. It'll be in the same place it always is.
Miss Mountain Gypsy put out, it was a simple, short video, but it was still very, very full of good information. So don't forget to check that her latest video if you haven't had a chance to yet. It's very quick.
Yes, so it
no
is.
Excuse.
It's literally under 3 minutes.
All right, well, the chat was great today. Love talking to you guys. And
yes.
I guess that's it. So we will see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds Bye. Good.
Or probably next week.
No, that's not till next month.
Never mind.